Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
With all due respect, and recognizing how awkward it is for the members of this committee, as colleagues and someone that would like to preserve the right of members to be judged by their peers with counsel, I respectfully remove myself.
I'm walking, here's me and I'm talking, but you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me.
It is the Laughing Savage on Monday, because life is very comedic, actually, at the end of the day. When you have clowns and buffoons in the highest offices of the land, what else can you do but turn to Fats Domino? Plus, play some Fats, will you? They don't know what I'm talking about. What am I doing? This is not a regular show. Don't confuse me with a normal pundit. Because if you confuse me with a normal pundit, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about. Wait, stop, louder, come on, that's the part, that horn. Don't you know my head by now? Nobody can play a saxophone like that anymore, nobody. Where did that saxophone go, that technique? Went up the nose, that's where it went. You need a lot of wind to do it, like you need a lot of wind to do radio properly. It is Blue Monday on the Savage Nation. The theme of today's show is Let Them Eat Carrot Sticks. Now, why do I say let them eat carrot sticks? When vacationing in Spain, the First Lady Michelle Obama was pictured eating ice cream. When vacationing on Martha's Vineyard, again, the family known as the First, or shall I say the family first, was pictured eating ice cream. In India, Indian ice cream was included on the dinner menu for the president. And in Japan, it's reported that Obama ate green tea ice cream. Now, this is a First Lady who lectures us on the health of vegetables, and that we should all eat carrot sticks and French fries. And then she's seen eating ice cream at every turn. There's nothing wrong with eating ice cream, don't get me wrong. It's not the biggest crime in the land. I'm a realist. I'm a pragmatist. I've watched enough television and I've watched enough movies. I don't expect perfection. Do you expect perfect people to be president? If you did, you'd never have a president. So, I mean, I don't expect Obama to be perfect. Don't get me wrong here. But when you have a president who is failing so miserably that even his own party wants him out of the picture, and that I'm saying Obama is the new Chamberlain, and the reason I say that will be disclosed a little later on in the show. I mean, I wrote a whole book about it called Trickle Up Poverty. I'll say it over and over again. You know, I do want to talk about it. What alarmed me over the weekend is while you were barbecuing, because it was hot or whatever, in the Midwest it's snowing, everywhere else it's like another summer that won't end. I couldn't believe that one of the first things Obama wants to do when he comes back from eating ice cream around the world is push forward the dangerous START treaty with Russia. Do you know what the START treaty is? No, you don't know what it is, but it has to be ratified by the Senate. And right now they can ratify it because there's a lot of quislings in the Senate on the Democrat side. You have to understand what Obama wants to do. It's all in Obama's war on the military and on national security. This is very serious stuff. He signed the START Treaty last May, but I'm getting ahead of myself. You don't know what the START Treaty is because the fellow travelers in the media have made you not understand what the START Treaty is. They don't care about America. In fact, they'd like to see us crippled so that we'd be like any other nation on earth, no longer the exceptional nation that perhaps your grandfather or father died to protect. Why does Obama want to work down our capacity for responding with nuclear missiles? Why does he want to put us in a subservient position to Russia and China? I'll let you figure it out. He signed a deal with Medvedev of Russia, And now he wants to push it during this lame duck session. So while we're out buying turkeys, he wants to turn America into a turkey. I know those are simple words. I understand it's made for effect. You may be in a car or a house, and I'm not going to read you from the book. I'd like to, but I know many of you don't want to hear it. And so you have to read it yourself. Obama's war on the military and on national security. It is more important now than when I wrote it. The bottom line is Congress must not ratify START. Must not ratify START. And I'm begging you to tell me, where is the Republican opposition? Where are the so-called blue dog Democrats? Each day I wrote, it's as if a hostile foreign power has taken over the United States of America. And our elected officials don't have the spine to stop it. Did Obama lose a war somewhere that I missed while taking a nap? He has a unilateral desire to demilitarize the United States of America, jettisoning our missile subs and nukes at the same time the dragon is rising. He wants to cut our nuclear arsenal. Did China agree to stop developing ballistic submarines? Did China agree not to expand its navy? This is a repeat of history. It's a repeat of history, and Obama is the new Chamberlain. And I'm being kind when I say Obama's the new Chamberlain. Chamberlain was a Tory, no less. And Obama's a pan-Leninist. So when I say Obama's the new Chamberlain, I'm being very kind, ladies and gentlemen, by the way. I'll tell you more about it on the Savage Nation. He dismantled the car industry, dismantled the best healthcare system in the world. And now he wants to dismantle our military by pushing through an insane nuclear treaty with Russia when America has clearly signaled that it doesn't want that treaty. This treaty is the result of the mentally disordered academic left. 1-800-449-8255. Gone around the world bowing to world leaders, and he's back. What would you like to talk about in the Savage Nation? Let them eat carrot sticks. There's so many things I want to get to at once. I have to go slowly because I don't know what order I want to put them in, truthfully. I think I'll just tell you what I've given you an opener, right? So now I'm going to give you a light story, and then I'm going to tell you what I did over the weekend. It's Monday. You can only take in so much. Here's an interesting story. Golfer blinded by bad shot sues pal for not saying four. Okay? Golfer blinded by bad shot sues pal for not saying four. Two doctors are playing golf on Long Island. One hits such a poor shot from the rough that he hits his partner standing somewhere off to the side in the head. Whose fault is that? New York Supreme Court will hear arguments tomorrow about whether Dr. Anoop Kapoor was negligent and should have yelled, four, as a warning before the shot. A judge has dismissed Dr. Azad Anand's lawsuit against him, finding that he took on the primary risk by golfing. It would be like going hunting with Dick Cheney. If you went hunting with Dick Cheney and accidentally buckshot hit you, and you sued him because he didn't yell whatever, you probably couldn't win, because you took on the risk by going hunting with Dick Cheney. Anyone who would go golfing, I suppose, with Dr. Anoop Kapoor should have known that he might be hit by the ball in the eye at the Dix Hills Park golf course on Long Island while golfing with another friend, Balram Verma. Verma testified that Anand was 15 to 20 feet away from Kapoor and about 50 degrees away from the intended line of flight for Kapoor's shot. Anyway, you get the picture? I don't. Play that thing again, the song, already. I can see I'm in the wrong direction with that song.
Here's the thing I'm talking, but you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. I'm lonely as I can be. I'm waiting.
Let me carrot sticks, Savage Nation.
That you come back to me.
Here's a story out of Montreal that caught my eye this morning. And it was an interesting story, kind of better than television could do. The head says, Canada, mob leader gunned down at home. An 86-year-old alleged mafia patriarch was gunned down as he sat gazing out the solarium of his Montreal home, authorities said. The latest blow to a once formidable Canadian criminal organization. Nicolo Rizzuto was shot at least once at around 5:40 p.m. last week, according to police. He was sitting in his solarium of his house, and one bullet went through, and bingo. Montreal police spokesman Raphael Bergeson told the Associated Press that Rizzuto was shot by a lone gunman who was hiding in the woods outside Rizzuto's residence. Bergeron said Rizzuto was in his solarium, adorned with a statue of the Virgin Mary, her arms outstretched, looking out to a view of the backyard bushes when the bullet shot through a window. When a bullet shot through a window. All right, I would have written the sentence a little differently than the bullet shot through a window. A bullet doesn't shoot itself through a window. It'd be when the bullet was shot through a window. But let's not, you know what I'm saying? With Associated Press, you take what you can get today. The Rizzutos came to prominence in Montreal with a violent coup against the Cotroni family, their Calabrian rivals in the 1970s. They had tentacles reaching into untold business considered legitimate businesses, including bars, restaurants, and construction companies. Anyway, whatever. Rizzuto crime scene. So we went to the Canadian newspapers for more detail. And there is a little more detail. I wanted to know whether it was with a rifle or a handgun, because the AP story didn't say that. And again, this story doesn't say rifle or handgun. But I did read this. Getting into Rizzuto's property would have been easy. There is no backyard fence. Have you ever heard of this? A guy who's allegedly a crime figure living in a house with no backyard fence? But with security cameras protruding from every corner of the red brick home, there would have been only one way for a gunman to make his way onto the property unnoticed. By hiding in the bushes, 15 meters from the window, police were combing the area Thursday. Combing the area. Okay, combing the area. And I left the bullet. One day after Rizzuto was felled in that cozy living room by an assassin's bullet. On Thursday, there were still three chairs placed by the windows, an espresso maker on the nearby counter, and a religious statue sitting on the table to the left. Notice they leave out the words Virgin and Mary because it's Canada. A religious statue. It could have been a statue of Muhammad, but they can't even say Virgin Mary anymore. There was also a bullet hole about 1 meter off the ground. 1 meter off the ground between two of the chairs. All right, so that sounds like a rifle to me. It sounds like it's right out of, you know what, when they shot him in the eye. This is like mob law. Who shot the who in the eye? We don't know who, but we know who got it. The guy played by the pretty boy in Hollywood, Annette Bening's husband, whatever his name is, who played, Bugsy Siegel got it in the eye through a window in Los Angeles while he's with his girlfriend, right? Same type of deal. Why am I telling you this story? Because I'm bored out of my mind with politics. No other reason. And because we're still living in strange times. Here's another strange story. I'll open it up and then take a quick break. Here's how the Associated Press writes this. Driver in California crash that killed five is released. They don't. You want to hear my headline of that story? Because this will rip your guts out if you're a motorcycle rider. Let's say you're a recreational motorcyclist. And you know there are a lot of drunks on the road, and you know the risk of these drunks wading into your group. You ready for this? A suspected drunken driver whose car slammed into a group of motorcyclists, killing five of them, has been released from custody. The CHP says Carlos Bobadilla of Mexicali, Mexico, was freed Sunday, but could still face drunken driving charges. But he's not considered at fault for the Saturday crash on a highway 80 miles east of San Diego. You see, he was trying to avoid an unknown driver in a gold Honda Civic who was racing to the Mexican border. Investigators will check surveillance video at a border crossing to see if the driver went to Mexico. No, he was going to Montreal, heading south. Four bikers died, slammed into them, killing wives and husbands, ordinary people. There is an epidemic of drunken driving by illegal aliens in America. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Blue Monday. How are you, Blue Monday? Got to work. Plan to sleep all day.
So I've touched on four or five different stories at the beginning of the show. The most important was mixed in, which is that during this lame duck session, Obama has a glint in his eye to do something so terrible that the newspapers haven't published it because they're busy throwing sand in your eye. Obama pushes to gut U.S. nukes in lame duck. It's on michaelsavage.com, fourth from the right. Now, I realize some of you don't agree with me, and I want to get a good argument going on this. So Jim in San Diego is on the other side. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Michael, thank you. Yes, it's not necessarily to maybe disagree with what you're saying early on. I guess, and once again, when you're saying to completely gut our storage, I didn't know the actual number, but my only point was is, you know, how many nuclear bombs does it take to blow up another country? I mean, couldn't they do it to us with 20 or so, and couldn't we do it to China, Russia with 20, 25 bombs?
Well, in theory, one would only need a few nuclear weapons to defend oneself. However, the practical situation is quite different, because if Russia were to launch a series of nuclear weapons against our nuclear facilities, they could wipe out our capacity to respond That's the theory. You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely. But how many could...
Let's say we have 100 missile sites. I'm sure there are more. And they wipe out all 100 missile sites. So it doesn't matter if we have 100 or 10. We're finished, right? Well, no, right. Because then we have submarines patrolling the Earth's seas with nukes, correct?
Correct.
You don't know this, but I pointed it out because I've read the bill, and it's in trickle-up poverty. I keep repeating. He wants to also slash the number of subs by 50%. He wants to cut by 33% the number of our nuclear arsenal by 33% by cutting in half the number of missiles and the submarine fleet and our strategic bombers by half, 50%. Does that make sense to you in a time like this when China is becoming the new dragon and Russia is on the ascent again? Does it make sense to cut our sub fleet in half and cut our strategic bombers in half?
No, of course not. But at the same time, when Russia launches something, we know that right away. So within 6 minutes or so, can't we retaliate at the same time?
When Russia launches, couldn't we retaliate at the same time? Well, I don't know the technical details of Russia's new systems. I have no idea if we can detect them. I know that in the old days of 50s or 60s and John F. Kennedy's day, we could detect, and, you know, it was 12 minutes from Russia to Washington, D.C., and it was only a few minutes, of course, from Cuba to Washington, D.C. I know all of that, but we're now talking about 2010 technology. I don't know. Can we still detect them? I don't know. But let's go to the next step together. Obama, as part of the START Treaty, has said that if we're attacked with chemical or biological weapons by Russia, Obama has promised he won't retaliate with nuclear weapons. Now, does that make sense?
Well,
he's giving up in advance. I'm sending you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Read it on page 269. It's a matter of life or death that Obama is stopped from the START Treaty. Life or death. This is no longer a joke.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Many topics up in the air, and I can't review every one of them every time we come back. The big one for me is the one about Obama trying to push the START Treaty during the lame duck session. He knows that this is a time when he still has the maximum advantage after the bloodbath that they just had during the midterms. Remember, the demon cats are still in control. Nancy Pelosi still has the gavel. The majority is still the communist college protester. The hippies, in other words, are still running Congress. The adults don't take Congress back until January. So during the time that the hippies are in power, they want to turn over the store to Russia, to China, and to the backers who put them in power, like George Soros. Texas, Tim, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks, Mike, for having me on. I appreciate it. I say that, George Soros and people like him are behind this thing. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're listening. Now, this thing about Soros, I've got to say this. Recently, Glenn Beck started to make a big deal about George Soros, but I've been talking about Soros for years. You got to understand, I am Glenn Beck's professor. And so that's okay that the student is copying what the professor has said and elaborating on it. But the fact is that I was onto Soros a long time before the guy with the blackboards. You know that.
Well, sure, yeah. Of your books, and I've been checking Soros out, and I got to say, every time I see you or anybody else say anything, I go check it for myself on the internet, some source, like maybe George Soros saying it himself. And he said that he became hooked. He used the word addicted to bringing down regimes and toppling their currencies. He's out of control. He's a megalomaniac, you know. And I believe...
Well, let's not use that term. It's beyond megalomaniac. The man is a genius currency trader. He has computer programs that only he knows about. He almost broke the Bank of England. He almost broke the Bank of Malaysia. You know all of that, correct?
Yes, sir.
My suspicion is that, as you write about it in Trickle Up Poverty, that it was he and friends in the MFA, Managed Funds Association, a group of hedge fund investors with whom Soros is affiliated, they lobbied SEC Chairman Cox to have all the rules changed so they could engineer a raid on U.S. markets to trigger a financial crisis that they foresaw could turn the election in favor of their 08 candidate, Barack Obama. And their strategy worked. It's on page 81 of Trickle Up Poverty. Have you read that in my book yet?
I can't. It's not in the book. It's not at Books a Million in Longview, Texas.
Well, I'm going to send you a free copy. But let me go a step further on Soros. Anytime anyone mentions George Soros, the ADL comes in and says it's anti-Semitism. Have you seen that have you seen that little follow-up? Anyone who dares criticize George Soros, suddenly the hearts and flowers come out, the violins start getting played. A poor Holocaust survivor, how dare us pick on a Jew? Have you seen that or not?
Yeah, yes, Michael, and I also saw him say out of his own mouth, nobody told me this, that he said he doesn't support he doesn't support Israel because they have enough supporters. That's basically what he said.
Yeah, right. Well, that should say an awful lot with regard to the issue of the Hebraic Association. But the ADL is a very questionable organization for a number of reasons. I want everyone listening to this show to know something. I wrote to the Anti-Defamation League months ago to help me with the ban in Britain. They never even answered my letter. And they have the nerve to protect this billionaire currency trader like he is the victim? You follow what I'm saying to you?
I agree.
They're a lobbying group like every other one of these pressure groups and nothing different, and they're not sacrosanct. They go where the money is. So let me continue. So their strategy worked. In the end, some believe that George Soros and similarly minded financiers benefited in an extraordinary way while moving the country dangerously toward control by leftists. Despite this alleged manipulation of the marketplace, Soros is free and active today. While he's still denying his involvement in one of the greatest scandals in American history, that is when he's not crowing that he had a very good crisis, I'm wondering why there isn't an investigation into this matter. Now, it's interesting to me that Charlie Rangel is being investigated for ethics violations, and I'm sure that there are real reasons for doing so. But he's a small fish compared to a man of this stature and of this power. And you don't see any investigations of him? Or how about the former Treasury Secretary, Paulson? Why is his name never mentioned in any of this discussion of the meltdown of our economy that gave us Barack Obama?
Because they don't need to investigate him. They know that these guys are guilty. They don't want to.
Well, all right. You see the connect. Tim, stay in the line I'm sending you. It's all on pages 80 to 83 of Trickle Up Poverty. Hundreds upon hundreds of minor players were involved in his fraud as well. Another member of the MFA is John Paulson, no relation to former Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, one of the architects of the TARP bailout. Paulson saw the value of his hedge fund firm rise exponentially in 07, thanks to the rule changes that the MFA lobbied for. While he predicted the crash and the demise of Lehman Brothers and Wachovia, the real reasons he was able to realize huge profits from the financial meltdown were the rule changes that he took advantage of to line his pockets. Paulson, like Cox and Soros, is still plying his trade. In his case, as a hedge fund trader, he's still enjoying the billions of dollars in profits he made personally from participating in the attack on the American economy, reference number 4 in Trickle Up Poverty. So if you think I'm just throwing around brickbats, you're mistaken. This is a carefully researched book. The lawyers at my publisher read the statements before they were published. They checked my references. Every listener to this show owes it to themselves to know the facts. I understand it's Thanksgiving and you want to let go a little bit. I mean, we just had a victory. I understand that. But what good is a victory if it's a Pyrrhic victory? And believe me, it's a Pyrrhic victory if nothing comes of it. If all we get are the K Street boys from the Republican side all over again, and I'm afraid that's where we're going, then we're back to either the Sopranos or let's say a government written by the fellows who the women and the ladies of men who wrote the Sopranos episodes, or the people who are now writing, directing, and producing a Boardwalk Empire. Because, you know, I got to tell you something. When it first came out, Boardwalk Empire and HBO, remember we had a whole thing. I watched it twice. I didn't like it. I said that Buscemi was too weak for the part of the mayor. I thought it was too rigid. I said the sets are gorgeous, the costumes are beautiful, but the dialogue I thought was stilted. I must tell you that I now look forward to the episodes. They've actually gotten better because as we get into the character of the corrupt mayor who built it, one of the first mayors of Atlantic City, the totally corrupt one, you know, in bed with all of the gangs and this and that. I said, some of the lines are right out of today's political world. The writers are now finally hit, they hit their stride in this episode that I saw last night, where they say to him, why do you want him to be mayor? And they said, because he's useful. Another line is, do you think only good men will run for the presidency? If only good men ran for the presidency, we'd have no one running. Things like that. Some of the lines were amazing. In fact, Bay, we'll see if you can dig up some of those lines for tomorrow on the Savage Nation. It's a real treat. 1-800-449-8255. I know you want to talk about the TSA. I'm not getting into it. I was the one who started it all. You know that. I started complaining about it a year ago. I complained about being strip searched 2 years ago. I complained about not flying 2 years ago. I told you I won't fly because the thugs were groping the crotch. I told you I didn't want to go anymore. Okay, fine. I'm like Lao Tzu. I mean, I don't care who gets the credit for it. Let everyone have fun with it. You know, but on the other side, watch out what you wish for, as they say. What would you rather have? What would you rather have? Now that you see CAIR, that wonderful, superb example of American interests, the Council on Arab-American Relations, whatever they call themselves, saying that the holy Muslim women, the better, superior Muslim women, the clean, superior Muslim women must not be touched below the neck. But your dirty, filthy wife can be frisked in the crotch. Now, what do you want? You want someone going on dressed as a Muslim woman in a burqa with a bomb? I mean, let's get clear here. What do you want the government to do? I happen to have researched this whole issue of the TSA. And yes, it smells a little foul. Michael Chertoff, for example, is one of the principals in the company that supplies the machines, the X-ray machines. Did you know? Oh, you didn't know that. You don't remember the name Michael Chertoff? Remember Michael Chertoff? That thin, gaunt fellow who worked for Bush? I forget. Where was he? In the Justice Department? What did he do for Bush? Homeland Security, right, right. One of the first officials in the Department of Homeland Security under G.W. Bush. Well, it seems that he left government and he went into the airport screening business. And now he's got a good deal going here. He advised that the machine should be bought, left the government. Then he went into business with the machine company, and now the machines are everywhere X-raying you. So, what else is new? You know what I'm saying? Many a boy made a good bundle by working for the government and then leaving. I mean, it's the road to riches. You go to work for the government, you come up with a policy that needs to be implemented, then you leave the government and you provide the service or the product that you implemented, that you said had to be implemented a day after you left. I mean, what could be better? In America, the streets are paved with gold. What do you think it meant? How else do you think fortunes are made? Honestly? Yes. In the case of the people I know, every one of them made it honestly. In the people you know, none of them make it honestly. That's why you become a communist leftist. Because they don't have the guts or the brains or the vision to make it honestly. So be careful what you wish for here. You don't want the machines and you don't want groping. What do you want, a Muslim terrorist to walk on a plane with a bomb in his underwear again? I mean, let's be clear here. What do you want? How much security do you want? How would you advise doing it? Well, I saw an email this morning about it. I think it was in a sort of a comedic suggestion, but I don't know. The Israelis could be doing it for all I know. It said the Israelis have a new method of screening passengers that requires neither X-rays nor lewd groping by perverts dressed up in costumes called the security officers. And it consists of a lead-lined, bomb-proof chamber that everyone must go through. No X-rays in the chamber. But it detects explosives, and upon detection, it detonates them. It says, therefore, if someone tries to board a plane with any explosives of any kind, in any any liquid, whatever, it goes off and kills them inside the lead-lined chamber. And then there's an announcement over the PSA, which says, there is now a seat available on the flight from Tel Aviv to Brussels. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's a question that just occurred to me as doodling during the break. If you take the word Soros, the name S-O-R-O-S, either way it's still Soros, forward or backward. It's an interesting question. Have there been any other world leaders who haven't had a name that, whether you spell it forwards or backwards, it's the same? And if so, what does that portend? There is no Nostradamus anymore, else I would have called 1-800-NOSTRADAMUS to get the answer during the break. I think we should get the numbers guy from Chicago. Remember him? Bob, the numbers guy, Mike, the numbers guy, whatever. And let him do it in numbers and tell me the answer. He'll come up with something, I guarantee it. Sacramento, Scott, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I've got on the START treaty. I disagree with you on two points. Staunch conservative here. But the first point is, to save face in the world theater, we have to sign that thing. He's already got it going. He's a pacifist. He's got to at least follow through with that, or we're going to look terrible.
Oh, come on. Now you're pulling my leg.
No, I'm saying he's got it. I mean, he's got to follow through, or we're going to look. I mean, I don't even know what that would look like.
In other words, in order for Obama not to lose face, we should give up 33% of our nuclear weapons and give up 50% of our missiles and 50% of our strategic bombers and 50% of our submarine fleet in order for his narcissism to be assuaged?
That's 50% of our stock. I'm thinking, are we building new secret...
But Scott, you see, you don't know the facts. That's in the START Treaty.
Okay.
The Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty that Obama signed April 8, 2010... directly attacks America's sovereignty and safety. Let's not mince words. This is the work of the mentally disordered pacifist left. If the Senate ratifies the treaty, America will have to slash our nuclear arsenal by 33% while cutting in half the number of missiles, the subfleet, and our strategic bombers that deliver them. This is very serious business. There's probably nothing more serious on his agenda than this. You understand that? And it shouldn't be about him. It's about America's security, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's our figurehead, unfortunately, but I just think that, you know...
So in other words, let's take it to its extreme. We have a maniac lunatic for a figurehead, and whatever he signs, we should go ahead with it so he looks good?
No, not necessarily, but...
That's what you're arguing. You're saying because he's, even though he's a pacifist, and he's president, we have to go along with what the pacifist president agreed to.
Between us and Russia, if we...
Scott, why do you think the Founding Fathers created checks and balances? It was to protect us from a lunatic socialist pacifist like Obama.
Absolutely.
If ever there was a reason for checks and balances, it was to protect us from Obama and Nancy Pelosi. They didn't know them by name, but they feared one day a dictator would come along. They didn't know whether it would be from the left, the right, the center. They didn't know how it would come about. But they knew that we needed to have a representative government that could nullify or somewhat, let us say, lessen the effects of this lunatic president who might arise. Thank you for the call. I don't know. People don't understand this. We're not a monarchy. We're not living in a monarchy where we care how the king feels. We're a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Sure, we're a government of the people, by the... Sure, ask Rahm Emanuel. Sure. Oh, yeah. Watch Boardwalk Empire or any of the other shows. You'll see what a government of the people, by the people, and for the sheeple means. Mm-hmm. Hey, get the sheep sound so they get the picture of the sheeple, by the sheeple, and for the people. Something I used to play for years. This way, Glenn Beck can steal it. Glenn, are you listening? Glenn, are your producers listening? It should be on your TV show by tomorrow. That's the sound of the American electorate. That's the sheeple at work. My dog is looking up. He's hungry. All right. You get the picture. Very funny. Very funny. Everything's a joke. Why is it liberals sneer? That's the one thing I don't understand. Why do they all have smirks on their faces when they're making comments? Everything's a smirk on MSNBC. Why do they have that nasty smirk? Where'd that come from? What does the smirk mean? Every time they make another sophomoric comment, there's a smirk attached to it. Like it's all a college joke. This is about our national sovereignty and our national survival. And therefore, we need to get rid of the idea that the smirkers are in charge. They're not in charge. Hell no, we won't go. Don't let Obama, don't let the Democrats, but most of all, don't you dare let these Democrat quislings, this is a Senate thing, by the way, don't let the so-called blue dog senators sign the START Treaty. I don't know what neighborhood you live in. check out your state and see which one of them is a so-called conservative Democrat. I don't know if there really are any. I think it was a ploy to get elected. You know, what does anything mean anymore? What does it mean anymore? What, you know, to me, I'm a realist, and I'm getting worn out already. I say by Monday, I got a long road to hoe here. So let me just finish this up. I'm a cynic, and I'm a realist, and I'm a pragmatist, and I love America. And I don't expect perfection in myself or in others. Having set that up as a preamble, that's like saying, I know that politicians generally are on the take. It's been the way of the world since Roman days. People get into power so they can gain power or money and do favors with it. Okay, that's what motivates them. Otherwise, they wouldn't go into it. They go into something else. So that's a given. However, there was always a line in the sand, and that line was national security. And there was a line of morality that most didn't cross. The line was blurred first under Bill Clinton, and now it has become an avalanche of a blur under Obama, where there is no line in the sand with regard to national security. I wake up every day, and it's as though a foreign power has taken over my government, is how I look at it. And I try to find out what damage they have done today. Tsar Nikolai is now in the White House? How did we get czars and no one said anything but a few people in the media? How is this possible? Why weren't they thrown out? Why were they not thrown out immediately? Why is Janet Napolitano still in power? She's failed at every turn to protect us from a terrorist attack. It was either by happenstance or by a civilian jumping up and stopping it. Why can this incompetence stay in the job of Homeland Security? Why is there no investigation of her? Why is there no investigation of the former Treasury Secretary? Why is there no investigation of people in the Managed Funds Association? Answer, because I watch too much television.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is Blue Monday on the Savage Nation, so play some Blue Monday as we talk about whatever we've been talking about. But now we get into details. The Rizzuto crime scene, espresso and a bullet hole in the window. Osama bin Laden has won. That's a good picture on Drudge, frisking the nun. My image. Remember how many years I've been saying that they frisk nuns? Someone shows up in a burqa, they walk right through, they waltz them right through. A nun shows up in a habit, they give him a rub down. It's like a massage parlor for some of these women who work for the TSA. It's like a dream. It's a dream come true if you're a perv. You get a badge, you get a little mace. You get to touch all the crotches you can possibly stand. And sad, what a country of cowards and ninnies. A cowardly nation. Flap less, coast more. So here we are, you're waiting for me to say something brilliant or funny, and I don't know that I want to say anything brilliant or funny right now. I said it all in the first hour. Obama eats ice cream, let them eat carrot sticks. Obama, in a lame duck session, wants to push forward the most dangerous treaty in the world, the so-called Star Treaty. Over the weekend, I read that Hugo Chavez and the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad, want to build a parallel canal to the Panama Canal, and that the communists in Nicaragua have invaded Costa Rica, which has no military, to claim the river on both sides, and to build a new Panama Canal to compete with the Panama Canal. This is all going on under the watch of the most spineless president in American history. But let them eat cake. Let them eat carrot sticks. Now we read the Irish are running out of Ireland. The kids are coming here. The young are fleeing to, they're going to jobs in Spain. Where else are they going? It's a new wave of Irish. I always liked the Irish. I hope the more of them come here. At least if we can have illegal aliens, let them be from Ireland for a while. That I can, at least I can understand them. Is it wrong? I shouldn't have said that, but I said it anyway. Let me say it again. As long as we have illegal aliens, let them be from Ireland. At least I can understand them, in case you missed it. Now go into overdrive. Ooh, Michael Savage said, as long as they can be illegal aliens, let them be from Ireland, I can understand them. Blah, blah, blah. This shows implications of racism. Blah, 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 blah. Insensitivity to people of Hispanic descent. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, shove it up your behind. See if I care. Shove it up your ears already. I hate all of you, you left-wing vermin. If it's up to me, I deport all of you. You want to get me angry? Go ahead. You think you're the only ones with anger? Wait till you see what happens when you incite the Tea Party people on the right wing. You'll find out what anger is very soon. Go ahead, play with us. Keep giving us those New York smirks. Keep it up. Keep smirking at us. You think this was something. You saw nothing yet what's coming in this country if you keep ripping us off and diminishing our stature. Go ahead, keep it up. See if I care what you write about me or what you say about me. I don't give a damn. Go to hell, all of you left-wing communist bastards. All of you, snooping on talk show hosts, sending it to Soros' front group, Media Matters. This is something right out of the ex-Soviet Union, and you're participating in it like you're superior. You're nothing. You're lower than roaches in an outhouse. You left-wingers are like roaches in an outhouse, looking for the droppings of human beings, you rats, you. You ought to be glad that I don't want to go into politics. You ought to be really glad that I never wanted to go into politics, because lo and behold, if I were ever in politics, I would investigate you till the last day on earth. I would start with Media Matters. Everyone in there, I'd investigate their income, where the money comes from, where the money went, why they pay no taxes. That's where I'd start. And I'd follow the trail. We know Soros funds it. We know it was them who sent sound bites of Michael Savage to England to get him banned in England. You Nazi rats, you. You left-wing Nazi rats. Half of you are children of Holocaust survivors. You rats, you've been on drugs so long, you don't even know you become the worst scum on the planet. Now, where did this come from, the rage? I was doing well, wasn't I? I was having a nice day. You never know when the storm is liable to break out on a calm sea. Keep pushing us. Keep pushing us. Keep calling the Tea Party people Nazis. Keep investigating conservatives who love America. Keep it up. You've seen nothing yet. You saw a tsunami at the ballot box. You've seen nothing what's coming in this country. You've seen nothing yet. This country defeated Hitler. It can defeat worms like you. This country defeated Hitler. It can defeat rats like you. You will be investigated. You will be defeated. Keep it up. Keep sneering. Keep smirking. Keep sniping. Keep it up. Keep provoking the middle class. Keep doing it. Keep it up. Just keep it up. Keep it up. Keep up the vitriol. Keep it up. Keep attacking us. Keep mocking us, keep ridiculing us, keep diminishing us, keep spying on us, keep it up. You're doing a very good job. You've seen nothing yet. Your day of retribution has not yet come. It will come. Mark my words, it will come. You have had a good long run now. Keep it up. I'll be right back. See, on a calm sea, sometimes an electrical storm will result. You know, I'm a voter. You never know what to expect at sea. You could have a calm, flat sea, calm, flat sky. All of a sudden, there's a storm. That's what you just had in the Savage Nation. You had an electrical storm. Sometimes the rage builds up and it explodes. That's all. That's normal. That's a normal person. Normal person. You can only take so much of the sniping and the undercutting from the background, and then you yell, that's all. Anyway, let's move on. So now there's a big fight in Europe. We know that the destruction of the sovereignty of European states by the verminous liberals, who destroyed the sovereignty of the individual nations to create the European Union, we now know what's happening. We now know that the hardworking Germans are paying to support the lazy Greeks, for example. What's the matter? The words are a little too real for you? The Greeks once ruled the world, and for 3,000 years they sat around drinking ouzo and staring at the sea. The Germans produced and produced and produced. Now they're carrying the lazy Greece on its back. Portugal, once a world power, take a look at it now, a basket case. Look what happened to Ireland. Look what happened to Ireland. They lived way beyond their means. I mean, the concept of affluence in Ireland was an anomaly to begin with. I knew during the housing bubble that it couldn't last. I know the Irish people. I know the Irish culture somewhat. They're not given to excess, number one, which is a good thing. They're not given to a showiness, which is a good thing. They're not given to a kind of an extreme lifestyle, which is a good thing. And all of a sudden, along came the shyster bankers into Ireland, and they brought in the American style, the American mentality, rather, of flipping houses, real estate bubble, blah, blah, blah. And every gangster in Ireland got into the housing bubble, and now that it's collapsed, the economy has collapsed with it. And there's no coming back from it. It's not exactly, God forbid, the potato famine of the 1849, 1850 era, is it? Thank God. But who knows what the nature has in store for us tomorrow with the mono agriculture that we have today. I haven't even gone into mono agriculture any time on this show. I know an awful lot about mono agriculture and the insanity of it. Mono agriculture. Now, what is that? Well, let's not do it right now. I'm not in the mood. Over-dependence on a single crop. Then get one virus that hits that crop and it's the end of the crop and your whole food supply collapses. So, now, do we have a mono-agricultural society? No, we have a different kind of agricultural system, but it's over-reliant on too few animal products and too few crops, by the way, incidentally. Now, that's a separate story. I don't even want to go into it right now. So here we are. We've talked about the Star Treaty. We've talked about Soros. We've talked about so many things. Getting even with our enemies. God sees the truth but waits. I leave vengeance to God. I know in the end he's going to get even with all of them. I just know it. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know whether it's collective or individual, but every one of these communist SOBs who have adopted Nazism and communism as their middle name, while considering themselves to be superior to the middle class in every way, the bourgeoisie, in these groups such as Media Matters and the other front groups of the Soros slash Hillary Clinton machine, every last one of them is mimicking the attributes of a totalitarian state. Make no mistake about it. So you say, well, what do you do to relax? How does a guy like you, you're so wound up, you're so tense? Very little. I'm 24/7. I'm working on my next book and a novel, which will be out in the summer. I didn't even tell you about that yet. Oh, yeah, you didn't know that. That's coming next. Now you say, well, I started writing fiction, by the way before everything. Poetry, then da, 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 da. But I moved way past it into something else. But now that I'm a best-selling author again, and have such a phenomenal radio show, I'm writing a novel, and I'm telling you about it for a reason. I'm not giving you any of the details. It's unimportant. The important, because it's not till the summer. But here's why. See, I don't stop working 24/7. Like work, 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 work. I don't even work for the money. I don't work for any reason other than work for it. So work is the only salvation. I quoted the great sculptor Rodin. I think it was who said that. Work is the only salvation. Work, work, work. I am a worker. I don't need a vacation. Take me out of my studio. I don't know what to do. In other words, if I'm in my art studio, which is the microphone or the news, right? What is there out there? There's not a lot out there. Not a lot for me. Maybe for you, good luck to you. So I go out of my little boat yesterday, 21 feet, the Ranger tug, a little three-cylinder Yanmar 29-horsepower engine. I love this little tug. And I tow a lifeboat behind me. It's a strange thing that I do because I'm a very conservative person in real life in that way. Very conservative in the sense of safety issues. So I take the little boat a few miles down out on the bay to a little island I know with a lighthouse on it with an old Victorian bed and breakfast that very few people know about. And I've always marveled at the structure, how beautiful it is. And it's just amazing. And I've taken pictures of it from the bay. And I went out with the dog. It was a beautiful hot day. The bay was a china blue and flat. Sometimes the San Francisco Bay, when it gets overly warm and we get the last days of another summer, which we have right now, the last heat wave, the bay turns flat in the china blue that can just melt you down. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. So go out on a little thing, undershirt dog, bottle of water, a piece of provolone cheese, a bread, you know, and thou, kind of the wine, the cheese, and thou. Very simple. No one else. No party music. No crack music. Don't get me started on the crack music everywhere. Where did I go shopping? I ran out of the store the other day. I forgot something like aimed at adults, and they have crack music for people who don't even shop there. I was going to tell the owner, why do you let... it was like a furniture store, like a chains are playing. I'm going to do her, I'm going to do her. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm going to do her. I walked right out of the store. I felt like an email. Why are you playing that garbage? The people who listen to that garbage don't even buy couches. What are you, people, nuts? It's like the employees now, like everything you go is like everything for the employees. You go into Italian restaurants, you got Mexican food being served because they cook for themselves now. They forget that people don't want to eat Mex-Italian. You want Mexican food? God bless you. Go to a Mexican restaurant. I really don't like red pepper and everything, if you don't mind. That's California Italian food, wherever you go. It's not Italian food. There's no subtlety in anything. It's either do-ha, or food that can burn your mouth out. So I go out in the boat, cheese, bread, dog, water. And we go out with I'm towing now it's a 22-foot boat, which unto itself, the boat itself is the lifeboat, the tug. You understand? It's like a lifeboat-sized boat. So I take another boat, towing it behind me in case the lifeboat, in case the boat I'm in, you know, gets in trouble. I don't know, it's like a weird thing, because I don't want to go into 58-degree water in a life preserver. It's too cold for me. And I think, how could I save the dog? It was really for the dog. Plus, it was cute towing the lifeboat behind a little boat, another little boat. There was something very romantic for my own thinking about it. But there was a reason I went out to the island. I took more pictures because one of the main scenes in my book is going to take place in this action-adventure novel. One of the scenes, not one of the main. One of the scenes is going to take place on this island. And I've looked at this island for 20 years. It's been there since the 1850s. And, you know, I researched this little island in San Francisco Bay with the Victorian lighthouse, bed and breakfast on it. You're not going to believe this. Right across the channel, a quarter of a mile across the channel is the land of the East Bay. And there's ramshackle old buildings. And I looked at them and I said, wait a minute, I know those buildings. They were in a Dirty Harry movie. One of the last scenes in a Dirty Harry movie was shot there where he chases the killer. Blah, blah. So now I look on it. I go around the other side of the island. It's the last whaling station in the United States of America, closed down in 1967. They used to drag the whales in there and process them on that little piece of land. So there's a lot of history wherever you delve into it. If you only look, if you look beyond the surface, you see an awful lot. It's the same in biology, in chemistry, in physics, and in politics. But you have to look beyond the surface or else you don't know what's going on. And what's going on in politics is as complicated as what goes on inside an atom. It's not as easy as you may think. There's too many moving particles that simply say this or that is happening. There are too many moving particles. You have to have the mind of a nuclear physicist to really understand politics that well. And it's easy to generalize and make it simple, but that's not going to give you the complete answer. So if you have a mind that really wants to delve into details, that's why you listen to the Savage Nation. I know the audience I have. It's generally a more educated, intelligent audience, and we know that. I don't need anyone to confirm or deny it. We know it from the data. This audience is generally a better audience than anyone else has in talk radio. There are bigger shows, but there's not as shows like this. What do you want to talk about? I just told you about my little ride across the calm China Blue Sea. Sal in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Michael, how are you? I just wanted to tell you, the people that you were directing your comments to have a lot to be worried about. The ones that you said, you know, don't relax. You haven't seen nothing yet.
Because right.
Because the fact of the matter is, Michael, people like myself who never did a darn thing with regard to politics are fighting mad. And if you think the election day was the end all.
Yeah. Oh, they think that you're going back into your little right-wing hole. Your little bourgeois hole. You're going to go back and cut your lawn and barbecue. They don't know what's coming, do they? Stay on the line, Sal. Maybe other men will call the show.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's a changing world, and things are going to come down in this country. I don't think that anyone expects Fox a couple of weeks ago will not produce the results that we want. We are going to be sold out again by the Check Pants K Street gang on the Republican side, and the Tea Party movement that put them back in power will be dismissed and co-opted as usual. As sure as I'm sitting here, that's where we're going in this country. I mean, we learned yesterday, for example, that Obama the destroyer is also Obama the liar. Even the media is shocked to find out that the White House under Obama handed out 111 waivers to the health care plan. 111 groups, including unions, were allowed to not buy Obamacare. Other companies such as Aetna, Jack in the Box, McDonald's, unions, the Federation of Teachers are getting exemptions, not having to buy into Obamacare, but you, the schmuck, have to buy into it. That's what you got under the communist Obama the destroyer. 111 waivers to Obamacare. 111 waivers, up from 33 in a month before. Buried in an HHS website, not even a press release, because the vermin called lawyers, not all lawyers, but these vermin lawyers, the lobbyists, bought their way in and got waivers for individuals. Sal in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Michael, thanks for keeping me on. I just wanted to say my message to all these left-wing loons in academia, the media, the government, they're finished. I want to tell you why. I'm going to give you one example from your book, because the tsunami on Election Day is only the first wave, believe me. My wife sent an email to a friend in Florida. Get the book, get the book, get the book. She gets the book. I'll give you three quick sentences, Michael. Here's the email we got back as she read your book. Oh, my goodness. Was a bomb dropped on me when I started reading Trickle Up Poverty? The revelation in Savage's book is frightening. In fact, it's terrifying. There's a madman in the White House. He's a traitor and should be impeached. That's the first couple of sentences, Michael.
I agree with every word.
Obama, may have awakened a sleeping giant with the Tea Party, of which I attended a meeting in Albany back in April. I met someone in Albany from Astoria, New York. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. Believe you me, this thing is growing, and men like you have motivated us to continue right through the 2012 election.
That's right. If you think this guy is going away, you got another guest coming. He's only going to dig his heels in more right now. Look what he wants to do during the lame duck, push forward the START treaty.
Right, right. No, he's finished.
These people, look, these are not politicians. People don't understand Obama's not a politician in the normal sense. He's a revolutionary. He is ushering in worldwide socialist communism into America. And he's going to do it as fast as he can because he realizes his days as president may be limited by term limits, comma, for now, period. Term limits, comma, for now.
A man like you, and this is the God's honest truth, and the way you put your thoughts into words, your book is going to open more eyes going forward. That book is going to be pushed day in and day out by me for the next 2 years. I just want you to know that.
Sal, again, I want to thank you, but I've said this before because, you know, people go through the first 4 weeks, everyone buys it, it's a bestseller, then it's forgotten. I wrote the book actually for this election, the first wave of the tsunami, and then also for 2012. It was written for the duration because what is disclosed in the book about what Obama intends to do is the most important information that people could ever get about what's coming. And it's shocking to me, almost prescient, in a prescient way. I warned people in the book about the START treaty, and no one ever talked about it. And I woke up Saturday morning, and there was Obama saying the minute he's back from Asia, he wants to push the START treaty before the end of the session. I could not believe it. The man has learned nothing by the election. He doesn't care about the election. It's as though it didn't happen.
He cares about no one but himself.
Well, I disagree with that. He cares about his international connections, contacts, controllers, supporters outside the country and in who do not want to see America survive as a sovereign, proud nation, or shall I say as a proud sovereign entity. They want America dissolved the way many countries in Europe have been dissolved. Their goal is nothing short of a dissolution of the United States of America as we know it. You know that, Sal. Look what happened in Europe. Look what happened under that creep who ran England before this one. Look what he did to this country. The prime minister before Brown was the worst in history, Blair. Blair was the biggest snake in the history of England. Do you know that Blair not only pushed England against the will of the people into the EU, but Blair took, Tony Blair, the good friend of Bill Clinton, Mr. Third Way, he took the Union Jack, that's the British flag, off of British Airways. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Very few people understand what symbolism is. Socialists and communists act first symbolically and then categorically. The first thing they do is take down the symbols. What did Obama do when he entered the Oval Office? He got rid of the statue of Winston Churchill. Why did he do that? Why would he get rid of a statue of a man who saved England, the greatest symbol of anti-Nazism that has ever been seen? Why would Obama get rid of Winston Churchill's statue in the White House? Why? What was he saying to the world? Well, he was saying, burn, baby, burn. He's saying, I'm now president. I have a different vision for the world than that of Winston Churchill. I see a universal socialism, and I'm going to push this as fast as I can. And push it he did. And push it he did. But when do we push back, Sal?
We have to start pushing back now. We don't wait till 2012. We have to start now at the grassroots level. We have to continue to push this wave so that we can get rid of the rats, like you mentioned Clinton, like the Begalias, like the Carvels, and like the Emanuels.
Right. Did you know that Begalia worked for Hillary Clinton with money from Soros to create Media Matters and other groups that attack men like me? You're aware of that, I'm sure.
I'm aware of it from your program, yes, but there's no surprise there.
What's interesting to me is that these leftists who act so superior with their New York smirks, they're exactly the Nazis and fascists that their ancestors ran from, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think
how did that happen? How is it that the ancestors ran from Nazism and they've become the equivalent of the Nazi in America? How did that happen?
Good question, Michael. But I think
no, I have an answer to it. There's always an answer. The answer is liberalism is a mental disorder.
There you go.
It was red diaper dopa baby. Red diaper dopa babyism that did it. They were raised as red diaper babies. They then went into marijuana and other drugs, and it completely wrecked their minds. They're mentally ill. Sal, I'm sending you another copy of Trickle Up Poverty. God bless you for your call. Thank you for telling us about the emails. Let's now go to Michigan on the Savage Nation. Ron, welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor. Hey, Sunday morning, I'm in the coffee shop. I go here every morning. Some left-wing nut comes out of nowhere, spills my coffee all over the book. I just got done reading the Acorn chapter.
Wait. You were reading it in a bookstore, or you were reading Trickle Up Poverty that you had bought in a coffee shop?
No, I was reading it at a coffee shop. This is a place I go to every morning.
I'm saying, but it was your copy that you had purchased?
My book.
It was your book.
Hey, I said, what's wrong with you? You know, did you see where you're going? He's like, oh, I'm really sorry. He goes, oh, what are you reading, Savage? I'm like, yeah, how did you know? Oh, I saw the cover. I said, oh, well, you owe me a book. He goes, well, that's your fault for reading the book.
Like, so that was an assault. You know, you could have had him arrested. You know that.
I told him, don't ever come into my coffee shop again.
Well, wait a minute. Your coffee shop or a place you go to?
Well, I just get treated as a VIP there, that's all.
Well, why don't you make a police report and describe the individual so if he comes back, you could have him arrested?
Well, I might do that. I've never seen
Listen to me, Ron. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. You've got to fight back at every level the way the rats have been fighting against this country from the beginning. Use the law to your advantage. You are the victim of an assault. If a man purposely threw coffee on your book and said so, which he did, he has committed an act of assault against your property. You know that?
Yes, he did.
All right, so you can now file a complaint against him. You go to the police. You have the police come to the bookstore or wherever you want in your own house. Here's the incident. Here's what happened. He looked like this. He was a white male, 5'9", whatever he was. I don't know his name, but if he comes back, I will call you. And you got to now you have it on file. Now you bother the police with this. That's what they're for. They're peace officers, aren't they? How do you know this lunatic won't come back the next time with a gun or a knife or a brick or a chair since he got away with hitting you, throwing coffee on your book? This is how the rat works. The rat tries a tentative attack. If the rat gets away with a tentative attack, the rat escalates.
That's right. Hey, Michael, when I went to go buy your book, it was sold out. I had to wait over a week before they would get it. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Where in Michigan? Where in Michigan?
Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids, beautiful city. There are actually rapids in Grand Rapids.
People are waking up here, too.
Ron, I'm going to send you another copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Put a plastic wrapper around it and put it in a poncho the next time you go read it in a coffee shop. Virginia, Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Savage?
Good, sir.
Hey, great. Great. I called to validate your point about the START treaty. I used to be a nuclear weapons officer in the Army, and you're not the only person that's very upset and extremely angry at the way the president is handling our nuclear defense. And if people think that he can just give away 30% of the weapons that are on our inventory and our stockpile without there being some ramifications, then he's more insane than we already think he is.
Well, we won't go to what you're implying, and I don't even know what you're implying, truthfully. However, in addition to taking down 33% of our nuclear weaponry, the START treaty that he signed requires the United States of America to destroy 50% of our strategic bombers and 50% of our ballistic submarines. Are you aware of that, Bill?
Yes, sir, I am. And we can't.
Well, wait a minute. Does the military not understand this? I know that the military is under the reign of the Stepford wife, Bill Gates, who seems to think the most important thing is don't ask, don't tell, more important than what Obama the Destroyer is doing to our country.
Sir, they're bound.
And what do you guys think of Admiral Mullen? Admiral Mullen, another Stepford wife. What do you think of him? Does he have the love of the troops down the line?
No, sir, he does not. They're bound by their duty. Officers in the military are bound by their duty, and they're going to be stuck saluting the flag and doing what the officers appointed over them tell them to do until it's too late.
I understand how the chain of command works, but we now have a commander-in-chief who, in my opinion, is a naked Marxist and a traitor. There is no other word. There's no longer any words for a man who would do this to this country. I mean, you could argue with him about economic policies and health care. We could all have a healthy argument about that on different sides of it. But when it comes to destroying our nuclear strike capacity, destroying our bombers, destroying our submarines, this is no longer a debate. This is total insanity. It is treason. By any other name, there's no other name for it. What, because he's the president, he can't be a traitor? Where in the books is it written that a traitor could not wind up in the White House? Tell me where it's written. Show me a history book that says it's not possible for a traitor to wind up in the highest office.
I agree with you. He's a quisling. It's exactly what he is. He's a quisling.
Yes, quisling is the correct word. It's synonymous with the word traitor. Very few people know who quisling was. You probably do.
Once you give away, and this is something that I know from personally being in that business for many years, once you give away those pieces of equipment, once you give away those weapons and you destroy them and you take them apart, there's not another manufacturing facility that's going to put any weapons back together. They're gone. They have limited life components.
Well, I'm going to shock America right now because I think maybe we have enough listeners at this juncture, at this point, on a Monday before Thanksgiving, but there's a lot of intense scrutiny right now of the media. Something that very few people know. I've said it a few times on the air. I need to repeat it now. Do you know what George Bush's father did when he was president to our nuclear ability? Do you know what G.W. Senior did? Are you aware what he destroyed?
Yes, sir, I am. I was part of the CFE treaty when he was commander-in-chief.
Right. Bush Senior, another internationalist, had all of our nuclear weapons, known as blank, created by Sam Cohen, destroyed. He destroyed all of our neutron bombs. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Very few people know this. I don't think that Professor Glenn Beck knows this. He hasn't yet heard this show. But I'm sure tomorrow the glasses will be on and the blackboards will be running. But again, to all of my students in the media, George Bush Sr., international socialist, took down all of our neutron bombs, destroyed all of them. And I know it because I had Sam Cohen on my show when I was a local talk show host 15 years ago or 13 years ago when I was still local. I was shocked when Cohen told me that the Pope had declared that weapon a humane weapon. Did you know that? I mean, I know an awful lot about this. I had Sam Cohen, the inventor of the neutron bomb. I interviewed him. It's one of the greatest interviews I've ever done. In fact, I'm going to try and get the tape. I found it the other day. It's a gem. And Cohen, the developer of the neutron bomb, said that Bush Sr. had all of our neutron bombs taken apart, deactivated, and there are none in our nuclear arsenal. The neutron bomb, as you know, if it's dropped on a city structure, kills life, but it does not kill the structures. It does not leave rubble. Then you say, well, what are you talking about? How could that be humane? Well, why would the Pope have declared that a humane weapon? There was a reason for it. When you look at the destruction of cities like Nagasaki, Hiroshima, non-nuclear cities destroyed non-nuclear waste such as Dresden, London was destroyed almost down to the last brick by the Germans in their firebombings. So in other words, it's a horrible Hobson's choice. But if you have the choice, you don't destroy the civilized structures. No one is saying you should destroy people. I hope people understand that. No one is saying destroy people and don't destroy buildings. That is not what I am saying. But if your back is against the wall and you have to respond to an enemy, you don't have to destroy all of the infrastructure of their civilization to do so. I guess that's what Sam Cohen was saying. Would you agree with that, Bill?
Yeah, I would, sir. A lot of people don't understand the tactics and the techniques to go behind nuclear warfare. There's tactical nuclear warfare. There's strategic nuclear warfare. You know, strategic nuclear warfare is difficult to win because if I throw a 100-megaton weapon at you, you can throw 200-megaton weapons back at me. Tactical nuclear warfare, on the other hand, is a little bit different. If someone sets off an 8-inch atomic weapon someplace in the Middle East, is the rest of the world going to start throwing cruise missiles and intercontinental ballistic missiles or launch a bomber with a 100-megaton weapon in it? Probably not. But yet the enemy has that capability. The enemy, at any time, Osama bin Laden offers up money all the time to get his hands on atomic demolition munitions. He offers up money to get his hands on small-scale nuclear weapons that they could use or turn
into. Right, he could break the back of America with a strike. It wouldn't matter. Or he would break the heart of America. We'd never retaliate, particularly when we have non-men in the White House and we have pacifist, socialist, communists in the White House. Let me send you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty to share with some of your buddies in the nuclear industry. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I think that some people were shocked by what they just heard in the Savage Nation, in that I have a scholarly background. Believe me, I do my homework for this show. It sounds like I'm floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee, but if I'm flapping less, I'm coasting more. Todd in Wisconsin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. My admiration for all your work. I was one of
Thank
the individuals
you.
Shocked by what you told me about what George Sr. had done with our neutron bombs. I'm an educated person also. I'm an Aristotelian like yourself, and I had no idea that they had thrown away a Trump card like that.
I can't believe it either, but it gets worse with each administration, moving us closer and closer to the abyss of a point of no return where we can't even respond to our enemies. Look what they've done to us economically. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what Bill Clinton started and where it's gone, how it's metastasized. Remember during the Clinton regime, the transfer of whole factories to China. Remember how shocked we all were to hear they were going to the Midwest, buying whole tool and die shops and transferring them. Remember that?
Yes, they were.
And little by little, we've lost the electronics industry, one after the other, because of the Quislings. Guys, I can name one after the other. I know their names. We know who the big ones are. They're lobbyists for these groups. Madeleine Albright is a lobbyist for China. Bob Dole, ex-war hero, became a lobbyist for China. Sandy Berger, Hogan and Hartson, lobbyist for China the last I checked. And there's no controlling these people. They're embedded into the Washington, D.C. culture, and there's no controlling them. These are the silent ones. These are the ones we know about. How many hundreds do we not know about? Did anyone listening to this show, did you know that George Bush Sr.? Did you know that he had our neutron bombs taken apart? Did you know this? No, you didn't.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up,
many topics today, Obama and the lame duck session prior to the Turkey Day. And that is, what do you fear most that Obama's going to do during the lame duck session before the Republicans take control in Congress in January? The one that bothers me the most is this missile thing. Here, Obama wants to push through a treaty with Russia to dismantle our nuclear weapons while Russia's pursuing aggressive designs in Europe and China is firing missiles off their missile pads. Is Obama the Chamberlain of our time? Is Hugo Chavez the Mussolini of our time? We've also talked about liberals killing the environment with kindness. Liberals buy reusable grocery bags and display them prominently so the world can see how superior they are and how much they care about the planet. But it turns out many of these grocery bags are toxic and contain lead. That's what makes them stiff. And this could explain the mental disorder of liberalism, which is lead poisoning, where they're mad as a hatter. And instead of mad as a hatter, I don't know what the new phrase will be to describe insanity, mad as a liberal. Again, we talked about let them eat carrot sticks. When vacationing in Spain, the First Lady ate ice cream. When vacationing on Martha's Vineyard, Obama and his family pictured eating ice cream. In India, ice cream was eaten on his dinner menu. In Japan, AFP reported Obama ate green tea ice cream. And I ask you, what do you think of a president whose wife tells the world they should eat carrot sticks and veggies, and then she and her entire family proceed to eat ice cream at every stop? All right, here's some more headlines for the Savage Nation. A suspected drunken driver whose car slammed into a group of motorcyclists killed five people in Southern California, and he is from Mexico. The CHP says Carlos Bobadilla of Mexicali, Mexico, was freed Sunday, even though he killed five people. He's not considered at fault for the crash east of San Diego. You see, he was trying to avert being hit by a gold Honda Civic that was racing to Mexico. Bobadilla swerved to avoid the other car, then overcorrected and smashed into the motorcyclists. Four bikers and Bobadilla's passenger died. Investigators will check surveillance video at a border crossing to see if the driver went to Mexico. Meanwhile, there are dead people, five of them. Golfer blinded by bad shot sues a pal for note four. Two doctors are playing golf on Long Island. One hits such a poor shot from the rough that it hits his partner, standing off to the side, and hits him in the head. Whose fault is that? New York Supreme Court will hear arguments tomorrow about whether Dr. Anoop Kapoor was negligent and should have yelled four as a warning before the shot. A judge dismissed his friend Dr. Azad Anand's lawsuit, finding that he took on the primary risk by golfing. Maybe he should have added by golfing with Kapoor. That would be like hunting with Dick Cheney, I suppose. Then there was a strange article by a fellow who writes for the Washington Post and poses as a conservative named Charlie Kraut of something, Hammer Kraut. And he said, Obama is right about India, and we should not complain about the whatever it costs to fly him there. $200 million a day, doesn't matter. He said, it's worth it. The only thing he was opposed to was cutting down the coconut trees when he walked by them. Whose liberal roots? Why, he used to work for Carter? Oh, come on. Oh, a perfect Quisling for Fox News. He fits perfectly, doesn't he? I guess it gives new meaning to let them eat carrot sticks. Let them eat sauerkraut? Or shall we say, let them eat sauerkraut's bologna? Oh, God. Well, let me go to michaelsavage.com because there's some interesting stories that I found today that we posted. Rangel slams ethic hearing and threatens not to cooperate. He walked out. Freudian slips may haunt Obama. Buy trickle-up poverty for the Thanksgiving table and confront your liberal relatives. Obama pushes to gut U.S. nukes in lame duck session. Dianne Feinstein sneaks in a bill to let an illegal alien stay in the U.S. Black caucus member warns a new Democrat against disloyalty to Obama. Illegal tsunami, majority of California students are Latino / illegal aliens. Guess who's behind the airport scanners that everyone's screaming about? Guess which company is directed by whom? Why, you remember old Michael Chertoff? Yes. Yes, apparently he's deeply involved with the company that provides the scanners. He advised that the government should buy them. Obama's calling for a limit on earmarks. The GOP is calling for a ban on earmarks. Who's the conservative? Money hidden in bra caught by FBI. You got to see that picture of Michael Savage. Drunk illegal aliens from Mexico kill 5 motorcyclists in San Diego. It's heartbreaking. And finally, if you can't take the hard news or the sad news, look at the bottom. An attic vase that was dismissed as junk was auctioned off for $69 million to Chinese buyers, unnamed Chinese buyers. I guess you know where the money is when you read a thing like that, huh? Right? This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Let's go to the callers. Ron in Houston. As I said, I get distracted easily. Ron, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. I had an interesting experience today in Humble, Texas, the famous oil town here in Texas. And I finally got them to admit that the book exists. And they just called me up today after 3 days and said it's there. But my son and I were talking this morning. He's just joined the French Foreign Legion. And I was telling him what's in
your book. Wow, he must be some tough customer. I didn't even know that he's an American citizen who joined the French Foreign Legion?
Yeah, well, if you knew his mother, my former wife, you know why he left his country and had to get away from her.
Hey, thanks for getting that one in.
Yeah, well, what happens is that he cannot believe these engagement rules. He told me today, and he's listening on the internet right now. It's 11:30 out there, and he said he was going to go to his girlfriend's house tonight, and he's going to he should be listening right now, so he should hear me. But the point is that he says that they are taught to shoot through the women to get the enemy. And if anybody's walking away who they think is involved in the battle, shoot them in the back.
Unbelievable. Well, that's why we're still in Iraq and still in Afghanistan. It's because the rules of engagement were written by a bunch of idiots who have made certain that the wars never end in order to make certain that the American taxpayer is built for as many trillions as possible in contracting dollars. There's no other reason for them. No other reason but to keep the war going for the war machine.
Right, but he's been training the last 2 weeks in street fighting. And they were in a mock-up of Afghanistan, and
yeah.
He says that the bottom line is that they're being trained somewhat like the Navy SEALs. This is what they've been told by their commanders, and he told his commanders about your book, and they want to see it. So I'm going to send him one as soon as I get my hands on it, and so he can read it to his commanders. They don't believe what's going on.
Well, nobody can believe the rules of engagement that are uncovered and exposed in my book. And by the way, I know this is Woodward's book has beaten mine last week. That book has nothing in it that anyone needs to read. Let me go right head on head with these two other books. My book is the only book that really exposes anything about the Obama administration that is worth knowing. The rest is nothing but media hype. And you need to get the book. And I'm sending you 3 copies, 1 for you and 2 for the men over there. By the way, before you go, how is it that an American can join the French Foreign Legion? Is that allowed, I guess?
He's got 2 passports, American and English. He was born in France, but any American can join. Because
wait, so that means your ex-wife was French?
Yeah.
And oh, well, you should have said that when you said your ex-wife. You should have said my ex-French wife, his French mother. That would have said everything.
I'm sending her a copy of Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. I found it.
Well, wait a minute. I have a sequel coming out, which is Gold Diggers Anonymous.
But guess what? The guy in a bookstore, this is a used bookstore, you know, that had your books in it, too. He's got a green beard. And I was in there, and I pointed, and I said, look at that. Just like Michael Savage says, you got a green beard. And then I look at the girl behind the counter. I said, look at that. You got green eyes. I says, Michael Savage predicted you'd be here today.
Hey, is a green beard normal in Texas at this time of year?
I neglected to ask him why, but, you know, it's got something to do with the greenies.
Well, I guess it's got something to do with the time of year in Texas and the amount of toe juice that they're drinking. No, I understand it. I understand that toxic toe juice in small portions produces a certain kind of psychedelic high, and it turns your beard green. I don't know.
It could be. I don't know. But, you know, think about it.
Well, look, good luck with your son, and send us a body count of how many he kills over there. I got to tell you a funny story. War is about killing the enemy, you know. It's not about serving them hot and ready meals. You know that.
Yeah.
And the day you start teaching our men to worry more about the enemy's rights and the enemy's state of mind, that we're finished as a nation. I got to tell you something. I got to tell you something. Every ex-combat soldier that I've run into tells me the same story over and over again, that all of them were sent over there to act as cannon fodder for one administration after another. None of them were sent over there to kill. And when they do their job, they're held up on charges.
Yeah, well, they got a saying in French. Translated in English, it goes like this. Teach them a lesson they'll remember for as long as they live. Kill them.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I took a young man in who was a former combat veteran into a restaurant, a friend of mine, a couple of months ago, owned by an Italian man. And the minute I introduced him, I said, this is my friend and just came back from Iraq recently. And the minute this Italian man met him, he said, how many did you kill? He said it with joy. I mean, isn't that what he went over there for? He didn't go over there to serve him hot and ready a falafel, did he?
Oh, he's ready. I tell you, it's unbelievable. His training is you know, really intense stuff. Out of a class of something like 50 people, there were only 7 or 8 that made it through and got accepted into the French Foreign Legion.
Well, how'd your son turn out so tough with the French mother?
Because of her.
What do you mean? You mean he had to learn how to be tough to live with her? Is that it?
Well, if you knew her, okay, you'd be leaving. Basically, you'd be a combatant, okay? Because at three different times, I had to pull a knife out of my body with her, okay?
Oh, wait, this is getting interesting. You mean she became physical to that level?
Oh, yeah, she stabbed me once in Paris. She stabbed me once when we used to live in Florida. And there were numerous threats. And on one occasion, she tried to drown my son in 1999. And I happened on the scene and saved his life. And she held his head underwater for well over a minute. And then when she saw me, she released him. And he come up and he said, Mommy tried to drown me. Mommy tried to drown me. And she
was just training him for the French Foreign Legion. She was giving him early training.
Yeah, you know, she do. I'm trying to teach him a lesson.
Or she was teaching him how to survive waterboarding.
Yeah, she's psychotic, is what she is.
No, she sounds like she belongs in a mental hospital, or at least working for the Obama administration, one or the other.
Well, she's an airline, so she thinks she's wonderful.
Oh, she's an airline flight attendant. What if you say the wrong thing to her on the plane? I can just imagine that one.
Oh, she's got a lot of people to lose their jobs already. She's written people up and knocked them off and lost their careers. She's a real wonder.
Was she good looking to go with it? Is that how you got seduced?
Oh, absolutely gorgeous. And one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. And this girl would knock you out. She walked away. She was offered a job by a friend of mine in Hollywood to do Elizabeth Taylor look-alike movie, okay? And she walked away from it. That's how beautiful this girl is.
And how did you meet her?
Paris Air Show, 1999, rather.
Are you a former pilot, Ron?
Yeah, sure am. Yep.
Are you a former Marine pilot or U.S. Air Force or what?
Strictly civilian and commercial aviation.
But you were at an air show. You run into her. She was there. What? Just trying to meet rich guys who were buying planes?
No, she was working there and just intermingled and happened to meet her and brought her to America, took her to Broadway, showed her how American life is like, you know, took her to Phantom of the Opera, you know, and showed her to, you know, the Lincoln Arts Center.
So she swept you off your feet right off the bat.
Yeah, essentially she sure did. I mean, it's, you know, a chick like this will blow a man away. She had everything going. She could.
But I mean, truthfully, let's be clear. We're both adults. Did you sleep with her the first night?
Hell no. No, I played it really American-like, you know, Puritan American, more or less, you know? Yeah, she appreciated that.
Oh, so you're both, it's almost like Prezi's Honor. You're both playing each other. No, you know what I'm saying? You are both like a spy, counter spy. You were playing the American gentleman when you really aren't. And she was playing the lady by, and by what you're telling me, maybe she really isn't.
No, well, you know, the problem is that her psychosis began to develop later on, and I found out a lot about her childhood, and of course she was not abused sexually, but she was abused physically by her father, brutal French, you know, and beat over the head with brooms and sticks and stuff like that. So she
God, was she raised in a nunnery?
Yeah, well, no, she joined a boys' gang to go beat up on other boys when she was a teenager.
Now I'm starting to think you're embroidering. You're calling me from a madhouse in Houston. Now you're making this up.
No, this is true.
She beat up guys with broomsticks?
No, her father used to beat her up, but she had this mean attitude. So she joined a boys' gang, and they used to beat up on other kids every now and then.
Wow, my God. So before you go, because you got my curiosity and everyone else listening, how long did you live with this hellion?
Well, we had a pretty good marriage for about 9 years, and when it fell apart, man, it fell apart in such a way. And her, to this day, she's got somebody she's married to who was her boyfriend before, who occasionally threatens to kill me and things like that. And basically, that's one of the other reasons that Berenger, it's a thing.
So that's why you sent your son to the French Foreign Legion so he can come back and act as your bodyguard.
Well, I may need it.
All right, you're a good sport. This has been good as Groucho Marx. What I'd like to do is send you 3 copies of Trickle Up Poverty, one for you, one for your son, and one for the commanding officer of the French Foreign Legion. The left wing uses junk science and altered data to try and push their agendas, such as fake global warming. They did it with global warming, and now we're finding out that the big pharmaceutical companies may have been doing this in their clinical trials of medicines. Joining us now with a look into this is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to be back with you and the Savage Nation audience, bringing a message of health, freedom, and liberty, where it is so needed in our country. And the work you're doing, I'm ever so grateful for. I mentioned we reviewed a little bit of trickle-up poverty because of the health scare chapter, which continues to scare and frighten anybody who is knowledgeable and aware that the government knows little or nothing about health care. In fact, what it does know is disease management and mandatory participation in disease management and the endorsement of a monopoly system of drugging everything that moves. And although many have been, let's say millions of Americans have been duped into believing that what the government is promoting is a scientific evidence-based medicine, there's a huge article that broke based on a scientific study or meta-analysis that has been kind of brushed aside. It was a little bleep, but now we're gonna hit it hard today, Michael.
This is the report on the placebos?
Yes, placebo. The placebo fraud that rocks the very foundation of modern medical science's thousands of clinical trials must now be invalidated. Interesting enough, the so-called gold standard of modern medicine and medical science is the double-blind, placebo-controlled, multi-centered trials that now we're finding out were not as scientific as we were led to believe.
Why do you say that?
We already know that according to the Starfield Report 2000 in the Journal of the American Medical Association, that a bare minimum 106,000 Americans are dying every year. That's over 1 million Americans that have died due to so-called science evidence-based medicine, for which Obama is definitely a big fan of. And we'll talk about a particular executive order that he signed recently based on that.
Hmm.
But there are no rules, evidently, on what they call the placebos within these studies. Now, the study was called What's in Placebos? Who knows? An analysis of randomized controlled trials. Beatrice A. Gollum, MD, PhD, was the lead researcher here. And basically, it started with this understanding that there were actually no regulations governing placebo composition.
Really?
Now, why are placebos important? Because they have to really measure these drugs or whatever they're testing against nothing, so to speak, to the best of their ability so that they can measure is it better, worse, or not at all changed between what is nothing and what is supposedly something, a drug, or even a nutrient for that matter. So we've got a real pickle here because thousands of studies now, they found they didn't even describe what the placebo was. What was in it?
Well, why is that important?
For instance, if you utilize, let's say, a sugar pill, a lactose sugar pill, and you utilize it in patients that are lactose intolerant, which could be with many immune deficiency disorders, including AIDS or other things, you're going to create a scenario where the placebo actually is going to play out worse. In other words, you're guaranteeing a worse scenario of extreme or, let's say, extra symptoms. And so you could say, wow, the drug didn't do that, but the placebo did, so our drug is obviously better. Now, that would be a result that would not be in real world better than, but only in testing a placebo that suddenly we know is going to create a worse problem. And the fact of the matter is these drug companies are in charge of supplying the very placebo that they're testing against. So they have an investment to make sure that their drug would perform or outperform placebo or do something better or different than the placebo.
Right, right, right.
Now, it's interesting. We have to go back a couple of hundred years to the founder, a physician by the name of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, who you know very well, you know, founded homeopathic medicine in Germany. And he actually, homeopathy acknowledges the placebo effect. They acknowledge that your belief, your expectation plays a role in healing. Any holistically minded healer, whether they be a regular medical doctor or not, that does not acknowledge the fact that they have an impact, the doctor has an impact on healing, would be at this point, I think, delusional. And in fact, when you really look at placebo-controlled study, there's no way to really completely remove it from any interaction, because even the person that's being tested, so to speak, the subject within a test, is going to be impacted by whether they like the nurse or doctor prescribing or giving the drug. There's just human interaction. You can never account for emotional interaction. You can never account for.
Well, of course.
Which, you know, frightens me when we consider all the cancer doctors that tell people that they have 2-3 weeks, 2-3 months to live, and they know, in fact, that they're basically issuing a death sentence, when we know, looking at these things nutritionally, there have been people that have lived years and years longer than those so-called death sentences, because certain physicians had the courage to look differently at cancer and to see cancer as a nutritional deficiency and toxicological problem over a long time. So the physicians that are working on detoxification protocols and re-nutrifying, like Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, who we've talked about here, has been featured in the media, has written books, One Man Alone, about some dramatic new, or even old, let's say, but validated ways of pulling poisons out of the body and how it changes the terrain of the body. And then we see recoveries from cancer. Supposedly, since Nixon's war on cancer, they haven't developed even one synthetic substance that actually cures cancer, yet they all attack the physicians that dare to say, hey, let's look at this differently. We don't need to add poison to the body. Let's remove poisons that are already there and see what happens. And amazingly enough, nature, God, creation, whatever you want to call it, finds a way to heal the body.
Exactly.
So all we argue for here is the freedom to heal. My goodness, what an outrageous thing to argue for freedom in America, you know, the land that started with the Declaration of Independence, which was all about liberty. And yet all we're doing is something so outrageous as that we're calling for the reduction of the government as it's involved in so many aspects of so-called health care, which we know and you know is disease management. And in addition to Obama's scare, it goes even further. You know, there's no basis constitutionally for the promotion of one form of medicine over another to establish monopolies. But in addition to Obamacare, there was an executive order signed recently, and this was supposed to take effect as of June 10th, 2010. Obama signed Executive Order 13544.
Well, what is that?
This executive order basically says the establishing the National Prevention Health Promotion and Public Health Council. And what this would do was establishing a 12-member board, actually more than that, but basically all the heads of the different departments, agriculture, labor, health and human services, transportation, what they're doing in a health panel, I don't know. Secretary of Education, which we would argue the whole department should be disbanded. Secretary of Homeland Security, what do they have to do with health? Administrator of the EPA, seemingly never met a pollutant they don't like. The chair of the Federal Trade Commission, director of National Drug Control Policy. We go on and on. We see all of these people that know little or nothing about health and everything about perhaps limiting the Americans' knowledge of what is really healthy so that they can promote an agenda of what? Detection. Detection, detection, detection.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. What does that actually mean?
Anytime you see prevention from the federal government, you know it's not truly prevention. It's about detecting stuff. So they want to give women mammograms with ionizing radiation, which we know contributes to cancer. They want to use vaccinations, which they're very upset because many Americans are questioning the whole validity of the paradigm, and we would only argue for the freedom of a parent to say it's your decision, not the government's decision, as to what kind of interventions your children get. That is freedom. If you don't believe in that, then you believe in collectivism and medical collectivism, that we're all, as we've talked about before, Michael, we're all a bunch of cattle, moo cows, sheep.
The sheeple?
And that we must just believe whatever the government says, even though they're largely conflicted, because as we know, we've talked as well about the revolving door between the CDC, the FDA, and the pharmaceutical industrial complex.
They've been on the same team for years.
But we can always count on big government to come and save us at the end of the day. Of course, as the government is running out of money, as they have for a long time, and they're looking for new ways to tax, they can always go to the trans fat police.
You can't be serious.
Yes, the trans fat police in Baltimore are now handing out citations, fines, establishing new taxes if they find local eateries distributing anything that may have trans fats in them. Of course, we're not endorsing trans fats, but how much of a nanny state do we really need, Michael? Obama's not enough. Now we got the local municipalities getting in on the act to fine you if you dare eat or sell trans fats. Of course, you know, those that want to do that, we might consider not so nutritionally intelligent, but would we endorse a new police state to prevent people from deciding what they want to eat? I don't think that we could endorse that. But, of course, that's where this is all heading, from Obamacare to the executive orders, now to trans fat police at the local municipal levels, as opposed to what we covered. You got diabetes? Hey, look for glucose tolerance factor chromium instead of drugs. Imagine that. But we're not allowed to know that. Not in the nanny state Obamacare kind of environment in which we currently live.
Thanks for the update, Robert.
Thanks again, Michael. Always an honor to share this message of health freedom with the Savage Nation audience and you. And please have your listeners come to my website at robertscottbell.com to learn more.
I'm sure you've read my chapter on the myth of global warming and trickle-up poverty. Not only do you have to look at the data they give you, but now you have to look at who's behind the tests. It's as I've been telling my audience for years, take a look at the money. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The number of companies and unions getting a pass from the health care law mandate suddenly shooting up. The White House now handing out 111 waivers. That's up from 33 in less than a month. In fact, we've got the list right here, but no press release went out on this one. Yet again, the news is buried on the Health and Human Services website.
Well, here's Obama, the fair one, who said everything would be transparent. He's given out 111 waivers to his friends who don't have to sign on to the health care plan. 111 donors do not have to buy the health care plan that you have to buy. And take a guess who's getting the waivers.
These are companies that maybe have the smartest lawyers and the loudest voices. Aetna among them, Jack in the Box, McDonald's, also unions, Federation of Teachers, fighting for exemptions and getting the waiver.
That's right. Big lawyers and big unions.
The bottom line here is the fact that they gave out waivers is an admission of guilt. Basically, they're saying, you're right, we screwed up. They did not create a law that benefits all of us.
Did you hear what the billionaire Bill Gates had to say? He says capitalism has systemic problems.
In general, the world underfunds research because the person who takes the risk of doing the research doesn't capture the full benefit of having done it. And so, you know, capitalism does amazing things, but it has one systemic problem in terms of research, that it won't do enough. It has another systemic problem in that the needs of the poorest will not be prioritized the way they would if you put a more human values-driven system in.
So now after he's made his pile, he wants capitalism to end. Of course, not enough to prevent him from getting his billions, though, right? Right, Bill?
Now, of course, we have government that comes in and does its best to take, you know, the beauties of capitalism, which work for so many things, is so fantastic, and whenever it can be used, it is better than government. Government comes in for things that the market doesn't work well on. So, for example, the lack of funding at the basic research level, the U.S. is exemplary in putting $30 billion through the NIH, putting money through other science programs.
That's right. The government needs to step in, Bill. I guess that's why Daddy was trying to tax people who actually make money in Washington State. Worried about flying this Thanksgiving? Oh, you don't have to be. Here's a one passenger had to go through. Just go naked.
How about over here?
All right.
Do you have anything in your pockets?
I don't think so. They had to take it all out.
No belt, no nothing.
Nope, no belt, no nothing.
Do you have any external or internal implants that I need to be aware of?
No.
Okay, I'm going to be doing a standard pat down on you today, using my hands going like this.
All right.
Body. Also, we're going to be doing a groin shake. That means I'm going to place my hand on your hip, the other hand on your inner thigh, slowly go up and slide down.
Okay.
I'm going to do that two times in the front and two times in the back.
All right.
And if you'd like a private screening, we can make that available for you also.
We can do that out here, but if you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested.
Okay. Actually,
security is everyone.
We're going to have a supervisor here because of your statement. Sure.
Oh, he has to get a supervisor. These are the thugs who are given godlike powers over people trying to get home for Thanksgiving. What have I said for years now? Islamofascism has won. Read about it in Trickle Up Poverty. I have a whole chapter on Big Sis. Here's Obama's good friend Rahm Emanuel announcing his running. He's running for the mayor of Chicago.
Mayor Daley's strong leadership has made Chicago a world-class city. And the next mayor will have big shoes to fill. The choices we make in the next few years will define Chicago for future generations. They will determine whether we remain a world-class city or fall back. The question in this election, who has the experience? Who has the imagination? Who has the strength to see a better future for Chicago? And who has the determination to see that vision through to the end? Because I love this city, the place my family came to, the place where I was born, I want to fight for a better future.
A better future. For who? Here's another close friend of the president, Charlie Rangel, trying to wrangle his way out of ethics charges.
My reputation, 50 years of public service, has to suffer because this committee has concluded that you must conclude this matter before this Congress ends. And all I'm asking for is time to get counsel. Time to get counsel. And you're saying now, I think, that you denied it before and you're denying it now.
Poor Charlie, his reputation is suffering.
With all due respect and recognizing how awkward it is for the members of this committee, as colleagues and someone that would like to preserve the right of members to be judged by their peers with counsel, I respectfully remove myself.
Rangel walks out of ethics trial. Okay, moving on. My dog Teddy just came back from the groomer. He looks so sweet. Right now his coat is still clean. I take him for one walk, he needs another bath. I still don't understand a dog like this. I've had every kind of dog in the world. This one, you walk him down a street, he doesn't miss a bush, a pump, a pole, a can. You have to drag him along, and he rubs against it. That's the part I don't mind how he relieves himself. That's his business. He's a dog, I'm not. That's his genetic problem. But that he rubs against it, I don't understand. He ruins the guy almost has to wear a raincoat to take him for a walk. I don't walk my dog. I hate walking my dog. It's one of my least, I don't like walking a dog. It makes me very depressed. If I go out, I like to ride a bicycle. So today I rode my bicycle to the mall, and I like to look at the people. Even though it's a small snapshot of suburban white middle America, it's still a snapshot of America. As a talk show host, you're basically living in your own world like a painter, truthfully, or anyone who works at home alone. If you don't see people, you can go out of your mind, you can go crazy, and you can start to distort reality. So I go to this place. I try to go once a day to one mall or another or walk the streets of San Francisco. I got to see people or I go nuts. So I see a woman go by with two beautiful children. They must have been a year old in the carriage, double carriage. So I stopped and I said to her, oh, are they twins? I didn't even think, should I say it or not say it? Because you live in an age where if you say to someone, are they twins, they can call the police and say, you're something wrong with them. He stopped me and asked me if they're twins. So I didn't even think. They were so beautiful. I stopped and I said, oh, are they twins? And she said, yes. And she was so happy to tell me their names, Anastasia and Joey, a boy and a girl. You know what I said to her? You're a very lucky woman. And then as I walked on, I thought about something. When I was a kid, again, when I was a kid, people would stop women with babies and admire the babies and look at them and talk about them. And the mother felt good. You know, it's very hard being a young mother. It's one of the hardest things on earth. Their bodies have changed. They, other than the supermodel who gained 4 ounces after pregnancy, most women's bodies get wrecked from pregnancy. So a woman goes through hell during pregnancy and afterwards. Believe me. So I didn't do it for the woman. I did it because I was stopped. The children were amazingly interesting and beautiful. But I thought about what a glow I gave this stranger who I didn't even know. And I thought what a world it could be if people were just human to each other and didn't want something, you know? Whatever.
Savage.